Morning.
Morning.
All right. This is the last lesson. The milestones that we've come across through this lesson, it's been taking 4 months. It's taken y'all listening to me for over 30 hours. Can you believe that? It's me putting probably close to 90 to 100 hours of work in these series of lessons. Y'all have looked over 500 PowerPoint slides. Speaking of which, let me get my controller so y'all will make sure that you'll see all 500 slides. We've covered over 12 books of the Bible that we studied in depth. We've gone back in history from this day over 3,700 back in history over these last 4 months. And here we are. It's been an awesome study for me. It's been one of those things that it's been an eye-opener. The more I've studied, the more I've realized the power of God. What I want to start out with, Okay, I'm there. I thought I lost it for a second. What I want to start out with this morning, is it okay if I step on my toes and your toes a little bit? I walked through the door this morning in our lesson. We were talking about Christ's crucifixion, about the period of time that Christ was suffered. The time started somewhere between 7 and 8 o'clock in the morning, and I walked through this morning about 8:30. Wesley beat me here. About 8:30, and I started a stopwatch. We're only 2 hours and 32 minutes from what Christ went through for about 6 to 7 hours. He did that for you. Jerry said it so beautifully this morning that he had you on his mind. You, your name, who you are on his mind. You know, we need to come together and give the good Lord. And I came here an hour early, so I'm asking a little bit more of you than what's actually required. He's only 2 hours and 32 minutes into it. We need to put our time and be here at Sunday school. We need to be here every opportunity we can, because when we truly put it in perspective, we're in an air-conditioned building. We're among friends. We're happy and joyful, singing about all these wonderful things our Lord's doing for us. We need to dedicate our time more. Because when I thought about this week, and I said, man, that stopwatch, what little time that he's asking of us today compared to what he went through on that cross. So strive to be here. If you're watching online and you can be here, strive to be here. Because Jerry says it all the time, when 2 or 3 are gathered in his name, he's in the presence. Don't miss the opportunity to be in the presence of the Lord. Do everything within your ability to strive to be here. I know there's circumstances where some people can't be here, and you're doing your best, and I'm so blessed that this congregation has live streams so those who can't be here can see it. So strive. And I'll let you know at the end of the sermon how far Christ was through his suffering. But let's talk about something for a few minutes. We ended our morning's lesson with the stone being rolled away. I want to talk about that moment when they went to find Christ Jesus in the tomb. We talked about all the events that occurred this morning, the earthquakes, the rising of the saints, the darkness that lasted for 3 hours over the whole earth. All that event to make sure that nobody forgot what occurred. But I want to sit here and focus on this, because I got a little story to tell you here when we get into the sermon about what happened to me this week, about my struggles, because I was struggling, as I was telling the Sunday school class, I know what I want to say, but to get the point across, how do I put it together? And this is where I was struggling with this sermon. I know what I want to get out, but is it going to come across right? Or is it going to come across where you can understand it? And the good Lord helped me this week. You know, you met Mary and them were going to prepare Jesus. His crucifixion, it was late. They put him in the tomb, and Mary and them wanted to make sure he was buried properly. So they were on the way to the tomb. And Matthew, and I want to look at a couple different scriptures of the same account so we can put the story together. Because if you've been in my Bible class, I've told you, just don't stick to one book of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Read all of them when you're studying, because that puts the story together. So you understand everything that occurred, the different perspectives. So we're going to do that first thing this morning. But in Matthew chapter verse 28, 5 through 6 tells us this. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that ye seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord laid." So the angel said, "He's not here. He's risen, just like he said he was going to do." Keep that in mind as we look at the other verses. Over in Mark chapter 16, verses 2 through 8 tells us this, putting all the story together. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" Who will roll it away? The women are trying to figure out, hey, we got to go prepare Jesus and get him ready. How are we going to do it? You know, typical woman, we'll figure it out. Us men were trying to say, man, I don't know if that's possible. The ladies of the church, we know from history, we'll figure it out. We just need to get it done. And that's the mindset they have. But when they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And they entered the tomb, and they saw a young man dressed in white robes sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. They were frightened. They were, first of all, how did somebody move this stone? You know, all that they've already went through and everything they've already gone through, watching the Son of God crucified on the cross. And in their mind, we got to get him prepared for his burial. These women were hard at work, worried about making sure everything was done properly. So I can't imagine what they're going through when they saw this large stone already rolled away. And when they enter in, they find somebody inside the tomb. In Mark 16:5-6, just look at this part of it. And they entered the tomb, and they saw the young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. Seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here." He is risen, and he's not here. But I'm telling you, as we read on, when we paint these pictures, they're confused. They're scared. They're trying to process all that just occurred. Because in Luke's account of this event, when we go back, while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men clothed that garment like a light stood beside them. See, that would scare me. Suddenly there's two men standing beside me. In their fright, the women bowed down with their face to the ground. But the man said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you?" while he still was with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of the sinners, be crucified on the third day, and on the third day be risen again. Then they remembered his words. Then they start to remember what Jesus told them. You know, I love Simon Peter. So the women go in there and they see the stone rolled back. They go into the tomb, and one account says a man. The other one tells us there were two in there. But they were told not to be afraid because he's not here, because he's risen. Don't you remember? So they go running out to go tell the disciples. And verse John tells us this, 2-6. So he came. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, hold up a second. They ran to Simon. They came across Simon and Peter. They ran out of the tomb, and Simon and Peter is coming to the tomb himself with another disciple. And the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, he said, remember what Peter did? We talked about this last week when he denied Jesus three times. He wanted to make sure that Peter knew that he loved him. And it stuck out in Scripture. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. Remember, the women didn't tell him who took him out of the tomb, but this is what they told him. They take him out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. Yeah. So Peter, the other disciple, started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter. You know, I can imagine Peter hesitating. What? What's going on? The other disciple says, what are you talking about? And takes off running. And Peter has to catch up to him. Talking about the first disciple in verse 5, he bends over and looks inside at the strips of linen, laying there, but not going in. Now listen to what Peter does. Then Simon Peter comes along behind him and went straight into the tomb. Nothing holding back Peter. And he saw the strips of the linen lying there. Peter's that bold individual. He wants to know what happened to his father. He knows what he just went through, denying him three times. He wants to know, where did my Savior go? They were already en route. The other disciples were somewhere else, because we read in Scriptures where Mary was told to go tell them. And their encounter, we'll probably read about here in a moment, Jesus even stops them on the way, probably after they ran into Peter and this other disciples. He runs into Jesus. But Simon Peter runs in there. But I want to talk about for a moment. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but was wrapped together in a place by itself. The head linen that was wrapped around Jesus' head and the rest of the body wrap were separate. The head linen was laid nice and neatly and set by itself. The significance behind that is, you need to know, is when a king or a leader would eat at a table and he had to go somewhere, he had to get up and go, and he wasn't done yet, he would fold up his napkin and lay it on the table, and that was significant to the servants not to touch his plate, because he shall return. And that was well known then. When that was folded up, that's significant of that Christ laid that to the side, was to let them know that I will be back. I'm not done here. That is significant to us today. We need to realize and understand that. I'll tell you why here in a minute, but that is significant up to today. They put that in Scripture that way for us to understand. We got to realize that Christ is not done yet. But what we all need to realize, and what I was trying to express, is what I want to get into these slides. I could have jumped ahead and went to these slides and got to the sermon and let y'all go 10 minutes ago. But what I want you to understand is what he was trying to let Mary and the disciples know, that when what God has promised you, no man can take away. What God has promised you today and what he's told Mary and them, just like I told you, just like I've told you, I've got to do these things and I'm going to rise. When Jesus, our Heavenly Father, says something, makes a promise, we need to understand that he never forsakes that promise. And that no man on earth, in no situation, no cross, no death can prevent God's promises. If we can get that message out there to the world and they can truly understand this whole concept, this whole building would be full of people. If they truly understand what God's promises meant, it would be amazing how full. We've got to go back. It was read earlier. Jesus told them before this all occurred back in John 14, 1 through 3 that was read earlier today. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He told them that before this all occurred. Remember, I'll be back. And I think that's why that napkin was laying there. Remember that message I told you I would be back? To remind them that he would be back. In Colossians, 1 Colossians 1 verse 9 tells us, God is faithful, who has called you in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. He's faithful to us. His promises are faithful, true. In Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all the needs according to his riches and the glory by Christ Jesus. So he shall supply all our needs. We have nothing to worry about while we're here on earth, because God promised that he'll provide for us. Why do we worry? Y'all have heard me say it before. When I was a young kid, with all the things going on, my wisdom of my mom used to tell me, and I'd tell her, she'd go, what's wrong with you? Oh, I'm worried about this. I'm worried about a test. I'm worried about it. She'd ask me, did you pray about it? Mom, you know I prayed about it, because I grew up in the church. And she said, then why worry about it? If we could get that concept out there, tell me this building wouldn't be packed. They truly understood what the Lord's promises meant. The death could not even hold him back. You want wisdom? You want understanding? You want to understand everything I'm telling you this morning? Just go to the Lord. James 1 verse 5 tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding faults, and it will be given to you. You want to understand what's going on? You want to understand his word? It's not hard. First of all, pray about it. God holds nothing back. Nothing back. He tells us in 1 John 3, verse 22, and whenever we ask, whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandment and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. If we do his will, if we do what he asks, he's telling there's nothing that he will hold back from us. Absolutely nothing. if we're willing to do His will. That's what the resurrection is all about. Grab a psalm book if you don't mind. Let me tell you this story. You know, I got up. It was Thursday. I'm still struggling on how to put the sermon all together in a way we'll understand what I'm trying to get across. I was asleep. I woke up Thursday morning. I'm in the shower. And I start singing this song. I haven't heard this song in a while. I haven't thought about this song in a while. But it answered my question. Turn over to 464. Because He lives. Y'all know, some of y'all heard me sing, it's not a pretty sight. But that's what I was singing in the shower, and I didn't know all the words, and I was trying to think of the words, and the only part that I could get is, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. I was singing that part and going through there and trying to remember the words until I got out of the shower and I went straight to my phone and looked it up. And God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And the life is worth living just because He lived. You know, we struggle sometimes to bring kids into the world because of the way the world's going. Just listen to verse 2. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still is the calm assurance this child can face on certain days because he lives. Whole different perspective on my grandkids. You worry about them for tomorrow, it's because Christ lives, they can face tomorrow. Because we live, we can face tomorrow because of Christ. That's what it comes down to. There's nothing the world can hold towards us or against us. Our Father's got this. That's what we need to understand on the resurrection. The promises that He made, He fulfills them all. And nothing can hold Him back. It all comes down to this. Because He lives. You worry about things in life, why worry? You struggle with things in life, why struggle? Our Father overcame death. It's because He lives. You know, another song popped in my head, and I sung as a teenager. It comes from Lamentations, verses 3, 22 and 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. This is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I behold in Him. It's amazing how our Lord works. It's amazing. When you want to answer, and we read it earlier, you lack wisdom, ask for it. He provides everything that we need. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. We got a few of our visitors here, and throughout this study for the last 4 months, I've been telling you, it's about a love story. The love story is about you. Your name is in a love story. I told everybody here that I'm so excited to find out that I got a love story that's written about me. It's got my name in it. You know, and I told you that's the great love story. But it all comes down to this. There's a love story, and we can read to the Revelations. But you need to know this. A never-ending love story is what it is. The story's not finished. It's not complete. There's so much more blessings and so much more things. This is not the Juliet-style story where we have a tragic death at the end. It ain't nothing like that. It's a love story that has a great ending where we get to be with our Father in heaven. And it's a never-ending story because it doesn't stop there. When we get to see our Father, we now spend eternity with Him. Our love story lasts forever. Those 4 months of studies, those 500 slides, those 30 hours of listening to me speak, those close to 100 hours of my studies put into this, comes down to this. It's a love story that never ends. I don't know what you struggle through with in life. I don't know what you're having trouble with. I don't know if it's bills, financials, sickness, problems with family members, problems with co-workers. I don't care what you're going through. It doesn't matter when you put it in perspective. Because it's all meaningless when we truly look at what this story represents. Take those troubles and trials and tribulations and pray about them. Like my mom said, you pray about it, and quit worrying about it. But turn that love story about you into somebody else. Take the story of Jesus has given you of His love story and share it. You have problems with a family member or co-worker, share your love to them. You have struggles in life with a neighbor, or it could be anybody. You have problems forgiving, get rid of that. Why did He come to earth? To forgive us. Get rid of it. Share that love story. Fill this building up with another never-ending story of what Christ has done for you. You want to do what Christ did on the cross, make it justice, make it worthwhile? Share that story. Don't hold it back. Be excited and joyful about you having that story about you. And let everybody else know it's about them too. Because it's not just about Brian Bear. Like I said in the last several weeks, Brian Kelly Bear was born in 1966 and graduated in 1986 from Hopewell High School. It's not just about me. It's also about you. Share that story. That's what 4 months led us to, for us to understand the trueness of a never-ending love story. I don't know what you're struggling with. Jerry will be more than happy to pray as an elder for you. Jerry and Wesley will come up here together if you need it, because the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then you turn around and look at this whole congregation that's here this morning. They're going to pray for you as well. There's so much that we can do together. We can help each other through whatever struggles that we're going to face through. You've heard me say it, that God's got this in so many ways. We just got to understand it and realize the love story that we're truly in. I greatly appreciate the opportunity to spend these last 4 months with you in class and in sermons. It has meant the world to me to be able to study this life of Christ even deeper. And I greatly appreciate it. And I'm telling you right now, I could not give you what I got out of it. I wish I could. But it's impossible. I want to share so much more that we could, I think, speak about this for a year. But we're going on to the next lesson. So if there's anything that we can do for you, why don't y'all come now as we stand and sing.